brothers and sisters, welcome to the Empowerment Podcast. Speaking, it is Lungu Mr. Arthur Khumalo. Hope you had a great day, had a great time. I'm so excited today to be back, to be sharing with you another episode of the Living in the Taurus Life. It's a great day, a beautiful day, and I hope to all our beautiful listeners and our subscribers on all our YouTube channel, are still enjoying the podcast, are still enjoying every show that we're bringing to them. Today I would like us to share on something, and I wish it doesn't take much of your time. And if ever you're listening to this in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, during the day, whenever it is the time of the day you're listening to this episode, whatever day it is that you're listening to this podcast or episode, and whatever country you're in listening to this podcast, I would just like to say welcome to the Empowerment Podcast. And thank you so much for choosing us out of all the podcasts you could have chosen that are doing by far better than us, that are doing maybe even greater work than us, and maybe other podcasts that might be even more equipped than us, but you chose us nonetheless. So thank you for that. We don't take it lightly. We appreciate you and we love you, and we wish that you could consistently be our listener. We'd love having you as part of the family. Here at the Empowerment Podcast, we believe that we are family, not only to us as the team, but also even to those who are listening. We believe that the greater part of the family, it is not just us, but it is you who is listening out there. So with that out of the way, I would just like to say thank you so much, and choosing us is the best choice that we've made today. Thank you. Yes, this is Living a Victorious Life, and it's... I don't know if I'm late or I'm stuck, but I'm still meditating and thinking around Passover. We know that beginning of April, it was Passover season, and a lot of believers were out in different churches, different areas, different parts of the country, different part of the world, praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what He did on the cross. And when that entire weekend, Passover weekend, was happening, visiting different churches around my neighborhood, and even going to church, you know, it was really a blessing to see different people praising the Lord Jesus Christ in different ways. And it's brought me back to where the word Passover was introduced to us in the Bible. And it took me back to the book of Exodus and how that whole thing of Passover happened, you know. And I know that now whenever we talk about Passover, we are talking about Jesus Christ being our Passover lamb, being the one who was crucified on our behalf, and Him taking our place, Him dying for our sins, Him going on the cross for us, and Him restoring us back to Christ. I remember that the previous episode of the Living a Victorious Life talks about the deity of Jesus Christ. And part of that, we talked a lot about of what Jesus Christ came to do on earth. We talked about that He came to restore which was lost. He came to die for our sins. He came to restore men into His rightful position. He came to restore order and peace. And He came to reign supremely as our Lord and Savior. And He came to bring back the identity of man as God has intended in the book of Genesis chapter 1. And he came to reinstall us into our throne, or reinstall us into a place of dominion and power that God in the beginning had created for us. So we talked a lot about such things in the previous episode of the Living a Victorious Life that is titled The Deity of Jesus Christ. But today, what I was looking at, different chapters and different books in the book of Exodus. I started from Exodus 12, where it talks about the Passover lamb, and I went to Exodus 13, where it talks about now the consecration of the firstborn. We went even to where now it talks on God leading the people, which is the people of Israel, leading them out of the land of Egypt. And then we went into Exodus 14, where it talks about Pharaoh in pursuit, where Pharaoh is now pursuing the children of Israel after releasing them, after the Passover has happened, after the angel of the Lord has passed, and it killed all the first male born, and we know the story how it goes. But for me, what was highlighted a lot reading all these chapters, the process, is that, okay, one of the first things that was there for me was that, so the Passover was something that happened in a day, but the wilderness was 40 years, but the Passover, them exiting, the Exodus, was something that happened in one day, but the journey into the promised land was more than one day. And for me, what that says, or what that talks to, it talks to how God can easily liberate, but now the journey to transforming and to making you into what he wants, it might not take that one day he liberated you in. And that is not because he is unable to do it, but because for you to understand the magnitude and the power of the work that has to be done, or the transforming power, rather, of God, you need to understand the journey. You get it? And if we look at the book of Exodus chapter 12, the book of Exodus chapter 12 talks on the Passover and all of the details of the Passover lamb, how the Passover should Israel, rather, partake in the Passover. It talks about the unleavened bread that they should prepare. It talks about the lamb, and not just any lamb, but it describes what kind of a lamb it should be. It should be a one-year-old lamb that is not damaged, or that is not scarred in any way or crippled. It should be a lamb that is pure, that is clean. It goes into detail as to what kind of the lamb. And not only does it end there in the book of Exodus chapter 12, but it also goes now into describing how it should be eaten. It says nothing of that lamb should be left. You should eat the entire lamb. Hence, when it talks on the picking of the lamb, it says each family should pick a lamb that will be of the size of the family. Meaning they shouldn't pick a lamb that is bigger than their family, because they all should eat the lamb. It even goes into talking now on the preparation of the lamb, as to how then this lamb should be prepared before they eat it. And then it says, but the blood of that lamb should be smeared on the doorpost, so that when the angel comes, it shall see the blood and it shall pass over. And I know that a lot of time that's where we get excited, because now we see that as what Christ also did on the cross, that he went on the cross and he shed his blood for the remission of our sins, and for that we were then, and through his blood we were made pure. The Bible even says, I love this verse, and I know if you're a listener of the Empowerment Podcast, you know that I've said this verse many times, that we are made the righteousness of God through Christ. It was him at the cross where he then made us the righteousness of God through his blood, through himself. Hence he vowed that he will be the one to go and be the sacrificial lamb of our Passover. He will be the one who will take our place and die on our behalf, so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. You know, and we see that another assimilation there when we compare the Passover and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But it doesn't just end there. It then now goes into now the journey in the wilderness, when if now you look, you start looking at now the book of Exodus chapter 13 and Exodus chapter 14. But before we go into that journey, them getting out of the land of Egypt, now we will look at these typical things that sometimes are not talked on when preached about this topic. We don't look at the fact that these people were slaves of the Egyptians for 430 years. They were slaves of the Egyptians for 400. In other words, it was not just a generation, but it was multiple generations that have been enslaved, or multiple of generations that have lived in Egypt and have lived under the laws and the ruling of Egypt. And they've had different pharaohs rule over them. And we know that if we look at the book of Exodus chapter 13, if it's not 14, we see that Moses also obeyed the wishes of Joseph, where Joseph said, when the Lord takes you out of this land of Egypt, don't leave my bones here. Take my bones with you into the promised land. And Moses did exactly that. So that should tell us and give us a picture, a reader, a picture that now, these people were there for a very long time. They were made custom to the ways and the ruling of Egypt. They understood that it was now their lifestyle. And if you look at when God made the heart of Pharaoh to be hardened, or when God made the heart of Pharaoh to be stubborn, the Bible says when Pharaoh pursued them, God strategically or intentionally made them to take a longer route rather than the shorter route. And for a reader who's just reading, you might be like, why would God take out people? And another thing that I've forgotten to mention, on their exits, they did not just exit with their kids and their family, but they exited with everything they managed to get. They left with a lot of things. They left with gold, they left with silver, they left with jewelry, they left with food, they left with a lot of things that they were carrying, exiting Egypt into the wilderness. And now when we are in the wilderness, God now says, you are not going to take a short journey, but you're going to take the long journey to the promised land. And this journey you're going to take, it's not going to even last you. Maybe this journey, that the shorter journey, it was 40 days. And the longer journey, it is 40 years. For a person who has been made a slave for years and who's now exiting that land of slavery, it would make perfect sense that you take a shorter journey and then you go and enjoy life of freedom. But God says, not like that with me. You are going to take the longer journey rather than the shorter journey. And the Bible clearly put it as to why God made them take the longer journey rather than the shorter journey. And the Bible says it is because people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Because people might change their mind when they see war on the shorter journey, and they might change their mind and return to Egypt. Now, not only God does that, he does not just only take them through the longer journey because of that. He also now makes Pharaoh to chase them. As if taking a longer journey isn't enough. He says, okay, that is done. Now I'm going to make the heart of Pharaoh to be hard and he will chase you. And he says, no, don't worry. This is not for you, but this is for Egypt, so that they could know. This is for Egypt so that they could know. So that the Bible puts it that, I want to read exactly what it said. It said, God made the heart of Pharaoh to be hardened intentionally, so that he can be glory, so that God can be glorified, and so that the Egyptian shall know and acknowledge that I am the Lord. So that I could be first glorified, and so that secondly, Egyptians shall know and acknowledge that I am the Lord, your God. Now, in the journey, I've heard this a lot of times when people preach about this message, they say, as much as the Israelites exited or exodus Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them, and this 40 years in the wilderness, God was now taking out Egypt from them. I don't know if it makes sense. One of the reasons why God made them to take the longer route, it wasn't because he didn't want them to get there. But he understood that these people have been in Egypt for such a long time. They are accustomed to the ways of Egypt. They are going to enter into the promised land with the ways of Egypt and with the mentality of slavery and of Egyptians. So for me to get them to the promised land, pure, I need them to take the longer route for them before they get to Egypt, to the promised land. I apologize for that. And for me to do that, I need to take them the longer route. Because God understands that these people, if ever they could see war, they have been made accustomed to living in the life of slavery. They have lived in the life of slavery so much that it's now part of them. They can easily return to Egypt into slavery, and my plan for their lives will not be fulfilled. So what I have to do as God, I'll take them through the longer route so that I could not just only get them to the promised land, but I could also get Egypt out of them and their mentality. And those who will be able to survive the journey are the ones who will see the promised land. But those who are going to be stubborn to eradicate the old mindset of Egypt from their system and their ways, they are going to stay in the wilderness, or they are going to die in the wilderness. And that's what we saw if you continue to read the book of Exodus. A lot of people died in the way. And it is not that generation that exited Egypt that entered the promised land. I'll say that again. The generation that entered the promised land, it is not the generation that exited Egypt. Those were two generations. So a lot of the generation that exited Egypt died and was buried in the wilderness. And to me, that talks about on when the Bible talks that now that we are children of God, it then teaches us on how then do we now live in this new life of Christianity. And it talks now that it says now when Paul teaches on the renewing of the mind, he says now therefore have a renewed mind. For me, it talks on that if you don't want to live, if you don't want to forsake your old mentality and die in self and die in your old ways, there is the wilderness is ready for you if you are not willing to die and forsake yourself and forsake the systems and the patterns of the world. Hence, Paul even goes into saying, let your mind be renewed. And he also goes into saying, do not imitate this world. Do not imitate this world, but be renewed by the transforming of the mind. In other words, if we do not want to have a renewed mind, the wilderness is ready for those who are stubborn into having a renewed mind. The wilderness is ready. But that's not where I want us to dwell. I was just passing. where I'm now focusing it is that in when Pharaoh now is pursuing the children of Israel, and before them there's a sea, behind them there are Egyptians chasing after them. Not just normal Egyptians. The Bible puts it clearly that Pharaoh took some of his best soldiers to pursue them and to assassinate the children of Israel in the wilderness if they get them. They were pursuing them. And now the Bible says it is the Red Sea before them, it is the children of Israel behind them. And the children of Israel start complaining. Now we see why God took them the longer route. Because God knew that these people in their DNA, in their system, they have been made acquaintance to a point that it is part of their lifestyle. being slaves in Egypt. Because they say it themselves here when Pharaoh is pursuing them, when they start seeing that Pharaoh is pursuing them, they say, I want to read it. Verse 12, it says, did we not, okay, it is chapter 14, verse 12. It says, did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. So for them, they say, whatever the Lord said to you, we don't care about that. At this point, we would rather be serving Egyptians as slaves. We choose to be slaves rather than to die here in the wilderness. Because for them, they did not even see the promise. They did not even have in their mentality, in their minds, the promised land that God had talked about with Moses. Even when he shared it with them, they didn't conceptualize it. They couldn't capture that thing because their minds were not renewed their minds couldn't capture it. That's what I'm trying to say. Their minds couldn't capture what Moses was speaking about, what Moses had heard from the Lord. Hence, God had to take them the longer route into the wilderness rather than the shorter route. Because God knew that these people, they have stayed in the hands or under the rulership of the Egyptians so much that to them it is part of their DNA. Haven't you then seen someone who has lived a life of sin or lived a life of the world or lived a life that is oppressing them into the way that it has become fashion to them? It is normal. It is no longer the life of slavery. It is normal. It's no longer something that is of oppression. It is something that they do easily. It is normal to them. And it is the same thing that God was trying to address here with the children of Israel. And when God made Moses to divide the sea into two and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and at the moment the Egyptians entered the Red Sea, then the Red Sea closed. For me, the miracle is not there, but the miracle for me, it is in God taking these people through a journey. It is in God, with all the powers he had at God, he could have easily transformed their mind by the moment that they exited Egypt, and he had would have made them to have this new mind of the new world or this new place that God is sending them into. But God didn't do it in that way, the easy way, but God made them to enjoy the journey. God made them to go through the wilderness and the wilderness to go through them, taking out bit by bit the customs and patterns of Egypt that they have inherited. God giving them their new identity. God giving not only even them, but even their children a new identity that they could take into the new land. And maybe now looking into the modern Christianity or the modern believer, maybe who's in South Africa or any other part of the world, who's now accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, who was living in the world, living the ways of the world, doing everything the world did. And now God is saying, hey, let your mind be renewed by the transforming of your mind. And he says, then come to me and forsake yourself and forsake everything and come and follow me. And he says, if you love me, you will do so. You will forsake everything and follow me. He says, I have died so that those who live no longer live for themselves, but live for me who has died for them. A believer who's now saying, I'm finding it hard to forsake the life I used to live because I've lived that life so much that I've understood that life and it has become part of me and I've become part of it. And how then do I forsake it? And how then do I live it? And a lot of people are like, I'm now born again, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and I love Christ, but now there are things that I'm still struggling with. There are patterns that I'm still struggling with. There are ways of Egypt in my system that are still hindering me into entering into my promised land, into living a life that Christ has predestined for me in the beginning. Because remember that God wanted to restore Israel to the land that rightfully belonged to them. when he talked with Moses, he said, I will send you back to your home. I will send you back into the land, into the promised land, the land flowing of milk and honey. And God presented this land and he made it so beautiful unto Moses that it was the land that they rightfully belonged, where they will no longer be slaves, but where they will be free, the life of freedom, the life of liberty. But now, how then do you live a life of liberty and freedom? As much as God has taken you out of slavery through the Passover, but now how then do you live a life of freedom while you're still struggling with the ways of slavery, while you're still struggling with the mentality of slavery? And we've seen this thing happening now and then in a lot of and in different dimensions that we can make example of. How do you make a slave become a king when the only thing they know is being a slave? How do you tell a person who has served so many times, not out of their own will, but out of oppression and being oppressed to do it, that now you are a free man, you could do whatever you want? Who takes this man through a journey of restoration? Who takes this person through a journey of learning a new life in Christ? Who takes this person through a journey of understanding that I'm no longer living the life that I used to live, but now I need to live a new life? And the existence and the birth and the life of Christ is a good example for that. That he the life he lived, hence he says, imitate me for I imitate the Father in heaven. That the life of, hence we say, Christ is the standard. He is the one we should imitate. No one else, because we are all coming from the land of slavery. It is only him who has perfectly displayed the life that we should be living. It is only him who has displayed a life that is out of slavery, but a life that is of freedom and of glorifying God, that gives glory to the Father, apart from of slavery and apart of other gods that we know and we have worshipped. Because we remember that throughout, if we continue with the book of Exodus, we know that the children of Israel along the journey, when Moses was away to be with the Lord, when they were alone, they said, you were gone for such a long time. We thought God is not with us. And we made calves, you know, we made our own demigods that we would worship while we are not around. And that angered God, and it also angered Moses. Because these people he's with are familiar with the ways of Egypt rather than the ways of the land that Moses is taking them into. What do you do when God has promised you work, when God said you will be employed, when God has given you a lot of promises, but what is hindering you from entering into all of those promises that God has placed for you? It is the same old system that you still have from the land of captivity. What do you do when you still have the corrupt identity and the corrupt mentality that you've inherited from the world, and God has said, I want you to be a leader, I want you to be responsible, I want you to be an example of good leadership, of good integrity, of good morals and good character, but in your identity you still have corrupt ways and corrupt mindsets? But God has said to you, there's a promised land that I want from you. Then obviously God will then take you through the wilderness to build you and to create in you a new man. And I've heard a lot of believers saying this to me, that, you know, Lunga, God has shown me this beautiful picture, but the life I'm currently living, I didn't see this one coming. I didn't see this wilderness that I'm experiencing. And I feel in this wilderness that God has forsaken me. I feel like in this wilderness, God is no longer with me. This is too much of pain compared to the picture. If I had knew that to get to that picture, I have to go through 40 years of wilderness, I wouldn't have accepted that picture. And sometimes we give up in that stage. And sometimes we lose hope in that stage where we think that the picture that God has shown us is it's no longer achievable, where God seems to have failed us and not have lived to his word. But even through the wilderness, we see that God continued to be with them. The Bible says God's presence was with them day and night. He was their shield day and night, and he made and he even provided manna daily for them to eat. It was so much that God even instructed that each day has its own manna. You shouldn't eat the manna that it was from yesterday, because each day has its own manna. And I'm reminded of a verse that is in the New Testament that says, God's mercies are new every morning, meaning that each and every morning there's a new mercy for you. And what do you do while you acknowledge the mercy that God has done for you, but still the picture that and the life that you're living is not the life that He has promised? You appreciate the manna, you're grateful for the manna He's providing, but the picture that you are seeing currently, it is not the picture that you have foreseen, that God has foreshowed you. You are not yet in the promised land. But God is still faithful, He still provides, He's still there. But the picture that you're currently seeing, it is not the picture that He had shown you at a distance. And unfortunately, I've heard a lot of preachers say this, that the wilderness is designed to take Egypt out of us, so that when we enter into the promised land, we enter being in the image and the likeness that God wants us to be in. I'll just say to you, be encouraged. Know that God has never left you nor forsake you. Know that what He's doing, it is only to restore you into the perfect image that He had predestined for you. Be of good courage and of strength, my brother, and know that victory is yours, because God said, we are more than conquerors through Christ to strengthen us. But unfortunately, the wilderness, it's destined, and the wilderness, it is due. We have to pass through this wilderness. I'm reminded of even Jesus Christ when He was on the wilderness, before He was crucified. He says, Father, may this cup pass without me drinking it. And then He goes into saying, but let not my will be done, but your will be done. Because sometimes we endure things that we do not like, but the Bible teaches us that we should count it all joy. And we should be obedient before the will of the Father, and we should be acceptant of what He is doing in us, understanding that what God has shown us, though we might not be the generation to get to it, it doesn't matter if we are the generation to get to it or not, but we know that what He has promised, He shall definitely fulfill, if not in my generation, but for my loins and my kids and my other generation that is yet to come. And I know that for some, it is difficult to accept that. It is difficult to be at peace with that. But the greatest peace we should be at is that if we live or die, but whatever that happens, it's all for Christ. Either we live for Christ. If we die for Christ. What matters most in our lives, it should be Christ more than anything. Because what is life without Christ? What is life without Him who has died for us? What would we be without Him? So what matters most, our greatest possession and gift at the moment, it is having Him next to us. And with that mentality, we will surely conquer the land that He has promised us. We'll surely enter the land that He has predestined for us. So to whoever and whoever is listening to this, and whatever you're going through, wherever you're listening, may you be of great courage. May you be strengthened. May God come to your rescue. May God see you. May God reach out His hand to you. May God come to your help, and may He do something that not only will amaze the Egyptian and make the Egyptians acknowledge that He is God, but may He do something that will also make you glorify Him and make Him known to nations, and understand that He is God and He reigns supreme. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our episode for today. I hope you stay blessed. I'd really love to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Empowerment Podcast. Inspire, equip,